because I'm not dealing with a tenant. I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act, all this onerous real estate legislation. So then it's a simple game. Can I create enough land notes where my passive income exceeds my fixed expenses? Then we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
Real estate is about freedom. Choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. I'm here with Mark Podolsky. He's the owner of Frontier Properties, the land investment company. Mark, also known as the Land Geek, is widely considered the country's most trusted and foremost authority on buying and selling raw, undeveloped land within the country. Since 2001, he's completed over 6,000 raw land deals with an average return on investment over, you ready for this? 300%. On cash purchases, over 1,000% on land deals in which he has financed. So I'm excited to talk to him today. I think we're going to learn a thing or two. Mark, how are you?
Neil Timmons, pulse is normal. Respiration's fine. I am thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm excited you're here. I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Hey, tell me, we all got started somehow. How did you even get started in this industry?
So if we rewind the tape to 2000, I was a miserable, micromanaged 45-minute commute to work and back investment banker specializing in mergers and acquisitions with private equity groups. And Neil, it got so bad for me. I wouldn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around.
Yeah.
I'd get the Friday blues anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy and he's telling me that as a side hustle, he's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar, and he's flipping them online and he's making a 300% return on his investment. And Neil, I'm looking at companies all day long, and a great company, great, has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow.
Correct.
Average company is 10%. And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So of course, I don't believe him.
Right.
So we go to New Mexico to a tax deed auction. I got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. I do exactly what he tells me to do. I buy 10 half-acre parcels, an average price of $300 each. I flip them online. They all sell for an average price of $1,200 each, 300%. It worked. So I took all that money. I went to another auction in Arizona, which is where I live. And again, it's 2000. There's no one in the room. I'm buying up lots and acreage for like nothing. And on that one auction, I made over $90,000. So I go to my wife and she's pregnant. I said, honey, I'm going to quit my job and become a full-time land investor. And she's like, absolutely not. So I said, okay. So it took about 18 months for the land investing income to exceed the investment banking income. And then I quit and I've been doing it full time ever since. And I love it.
18 months. That's incredible. The ability to be able to go there and execute on that. Well, tell me how long or what was it like early on to be able to, how'd you move it from side hustle to permanent full time? What was that transition like?
Well, it was dumb. I made so many mistakes.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until I had coffee with my mentor, Ori. So Ori sold his company for $320 million to Experian. And we're having coffee and I'm telling him about how I'm doing so great in the land business. And he's like, stop, don't insult me. He's like, don't call yourself an entrepreneur. Cause I'm telling him all these things I'm doing.
Right.
He's like, this so-called business is just a better job than what you had. He's like, if you die tomorrow, what happens to your family? What happens to your so-called business?
Right.
So it wasn't until that point I started really delegating, outsourcing, creating automation to get myself out of the business.
To actually create one.
To create a business. It's to create something bigger than myself. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. And so what year was that? How long, or maybe how long were you in the business before that?
I was probably in the business for about 6 years.
Okay.
Before I started systematically getting out of it.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Yeah. Okay.
What's been the biggest challenge
for you in the last, you know, last handful of years?
Well, the last handful of years, I'd say the biggest challenge for me, there hasn't been that many professional challenges.
Yeah.
I'd say personal challenges have really come to the forefront. And, you know, I'm going through a divorce. So obviously that impacts my family and my children. And the whole point of me really creating this business, this lifestyle was for my passive income to exceed my fixed expenses so I could work when I want, where I want, with whom I want, and really spend time with my loved ones.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think that's been a challenge egoically to get over the fact that I worked so hard to achieve this result, and going through that, you know, the emotions of that disappointment, and like a stoic trying to reframe it and find the silver linings in it.
Yeah. Talk to me about passive income, because I'm curious from the person in real estate looking at through this lens into land, how in the world do you make land passive?
Okay. So let me walk you through the model.
Yeah.
Step by step. Okay. So Neil, where do you live?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa. Okay. I'm going to assume that you own 5 acres of raw land in Colorado and you owe $200 in back taxes.
Okay.
So Neil, you're essentially advertising two important things. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to the raw land.
That's right.
You're in Iowa, properties in Colorado. And number two, you're distressed financially in some weird way because they haven't paid your property taxes. And we don't pay for things like our property taxes. We don't value them in the same way.
Correct.
As a result, the county treasurer keeps sending you notices saying, Neil, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to lose that property to a tax deed or a tax lien investor.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm going to do is look at the comparable sales on your 5-acre parcel for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to take the lowest comparable sale and divide by 4. Let's just use easy math. Let's say it's $10,000.
Yep.
So I divide by 4. I'm going to send you an actual offer for $2,500. Now you accept it. Why? Because for you, $2,500 is better than nothing.
Correct.
In reality, 3 to 5% of people accept my quote unquote top dollar offer. But now that you've accepted it, I have to go through due diligence or in-depth research. I have to confirm you still own the property. I have to confirm back taxes are only $200. I have to make sure there's been no breaks in the chain of title, no liens or encumbrances.
Mm-hmm.
All this can easily be done by a team in the Philippines that's connected to an American title company. Mm-hmm. It costs about $11. Or if you're investing $5,000 or more, which is what I recommend, don't take any risk closed traditionally through a title company.
Yeah.
Let's assume everything checks out. So now, Neil, I'm going to sell your 5-acre parcel 30 days or less, and I'm going to make a cash flow like a rental home. Now, I have a built-in best buyer. Do you know who it is?
Built-in best buyer. I'd be speculating, but I'd say one of the neighbors.
You got it. It's the neighbors. The neighbors. So I'm going to send out neighbor letters saying, here's your opportunity. Protect your privacy, protect your views, know your neighbors. So oftentimes the neighbors will buy. If they buy, if they pass, I go to my buyer's list. The buyer's list passes. I go to a little website you may have heard of. It's called Craigslist, 15th most trafficked website in the United States.
I have heard of it.
I go to one I know you've heard of called Meta or Facebook, buy sell groups in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to the lands, landmodo.com, landandfarm.com, landsofamerica.com, landflip.com, landhub.com. These are platforms.
Yep.
People buy and sell raw land. But the secret in how I'm going to sell it so quickly is in the pricing. So all I'm going to ask for to control your 5-acre parcel is a $2,500 down payment. And then I'll make it a car payment. Let's say $297 a month at 9% interest over the next 84 months.
Yep.
So it's a one-time sale. I get my capital out on the down payment.
Yep.
I can go 6 to 10 months out. And then I'm getting $297 a month at 9% interest over the next 84 months. No renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents. And because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act, all this onerous real estate legislation. So then it's a simple game. Can I create enough land notes
right.
where my passive income exceeds my fixed expenses?
Right.
And then we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
Yeah. Incredible. Yes. I knew you were going to get me there because I knew there had to be an answer. That is fun. I like what you've done there to be able to create, to be able to create that revenue stream. Because otherwise, you just end up with cash transactions. If you're just going to flip it, it's like flipping a house. It's just a different J-O-B.
It's just another J-O-B, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I hear people all the time, they don't want to deal with the notes and the relationships and the management of the notes, but we use software. I mean, 90% of this is automated with inexpensive virtual assistants and software. So it's simple, but you know, you and I both know it ain't easy.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, we've got notes in our business on the house side. And so that's a different type of process. And yours, without a structure there, it's a whole different story.
Right.
Completely Absolutely. Different story. Talk to me. I'm curious about what the team, or maybe what your core team looks like today. How do you manage this and what's your team look like?
So I have an acquisition manager that manages the business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's managing the team in Jamaica and the team in the Philippines, and they're doing the majority of that process. So let's say getting a list, scrubbing that list, pricing that list, uploading it into the software. The software does the rest of it. Then when the offers come back, then we have an intake manager, usually in Jamaica, who speaks really good English. They are compensated by hopefully renegotiating to get us a better deal.
Yep.
But if they can't, that's okay. And they're basically qualifying the sellers. Sometimes the sellers just want to call and yell at me
sure.
about the offer. Sometimes they're confused by the offer, and sometimes they want to renegotiate.
They're confused. So they don't even know they own tax. They're behind on taxes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't even know what's going on.
Right. So the intake manager qualifies them,
yep.
then pushes that through the system. Once it closes, once we own it, then we have the marketing team based in the Philippines doing the ad writing, posting the ads. And then we have the acquisition manager and his sales assistants handling the leads, qualifying the leads, and then closing and then doing the paperwork, a promissory note, purchase sale agreement, land sale contract. All that's automated within the software. And then we use another software called geekpay.io. It's a set and forget it payment system to collect the monthly payments via ACH and let the borrowers self-serve and make a prepayment if they want and see their current balance.
Yeah. Sounds like most of the team is, or maybe it's all remote. Most of the team is non-US based. Is that fair?
Most of the team is non-US based and everyone on my team is remote.
Everyone on your team is remote. How long has it been the case? Everybody on being remote?
Since I started.
All right. So from way before COVID.
Way before COVID. Yeah. I remember my first virtual assistant was Janie in South Carolina. And I would actually send her a list and have her print out the envelopes and handwrite the envelopes to send out offers.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Well, tell me, inside your business, what's the culture like?
So the culture, I think, is really a culture of you're an adult and I trust you because you want to do a good job. And until I see that you're not doing that, you won't hear much from me.
Yeah.
That's sort of the culture. It's just, hey, here's our purpose. This is our why.
Yeah.
If you buy into it, then you're going to want to do a great job.
Yeah.
Everyone on my team wants to do a great job. And at some point, people change and maybe they want to move on, but we've had very little turnover.
The right people in that environment thrive, don't they?
The right people in that environment thrive. And there's somebody for every role.
Sure.
And so it's just one of those things. You just got to find the right person for that role and make sure that they're well compensated and well rewarded, and not just monetarily, but you know, they're getting their psychological needs met. They feel valued.
Right.
And just create that environment. It's a weird thing to talk about because it's so sort of woo-woo.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that's how the culture is. And I could be totally wrong. I mean, the team might hate me for all I know. I don't know. All I look is, are we growing? And are people seem to be happy?
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have much turnover.
But they stay, they do the work, and the checks keep rolling in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So from my point of view, we've got a great culture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tell me, if someone, you know, when we get to the end of this and we sign off, somebody's like, wow, great call. I want to start doing land. You know, what's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, a handful of things. Where should somebody even start?
Well, I think the best way to learn anything is by doing it.
Sure.
So I've got a course that's a free course, and just see, does this model even resonate with you?
Yeah.
And if it does, then you could go deeper into it. But I think it all starts with education combined with action.
Sure.
So action with knowledge, without knowledge, you get in trouble. Knowledge without action is a total waste of time. So you've got to combine the two. And so Neil, if they want, they can go to thelandgeek.com/quickdeals and get that free course. And we'll teach you how to double their money 30 days or less.
/quickdeals. Give me that URL one more time.
thelandgeek.com/quickdeals.
Okay.
One perfect. Word.
Got it. I'll make sure we get that link in the show notes down below. Tell me a little more about your business. You know what? When you guys are hiring, what are your non-negotiables? When you're bringing somebody in and you're going, you know, I got to have this, can't have that. What's that look like for you?
So we have a process that we like. So we'll typically, if we're working with somebody overseas, we'll hire three people for the same role.
Yeah.
And we'll give them all an impossible test. And we want to see, how do they think about this impossible test? Will they say, oh, okay, I couldn't do this because this doesn't exist, but this was similar, so I did this. Or do they come back and say, oh, it's impossible, and not do it? So we want to look for the person who, as Seth Godin would say, puts an emotional labor into the role.
Yeah.
And that's really how we think about that person in that role. And once we find that person, then we let them. Then I would say that as far as training, we have a 30-to-1 ratio. So if our acquisition manager thinks, oh, it takes me 5 minutes to do this task, he will invest 150 minutes in training on that 5-minute task and not lose patience with that person. Now, at the 151st minute, and they're still not getting it, you might look at this isn't the right
fit.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. How long did it take you to get down to a system on the virtual assistants that is as dialed in as it is today?
I mean, it's Kaizen. So it's continuous improvement.
Yeah.
I would say that we're constantly working on this stuff.
Yeah.
But thank you for thinking it's dialed in.
Yeah.
But we're constantly working on it, improving it.
Yeah. Tell me, what's something, personal habit of yours that attributes largely to your success?
Meditation.
Meditation.
So I've been a long time meditator. And having that sort of distance from my thoughts is really a key component to the joy of what I'm doing, where I can get lost in thought and telling myself a story, and it can ruin a whole day if I let it.
Sure.
It used to ruin a whole day. And now I've got it down to moments or minutes even. So I would say that that's been a key component to my success, because everywhere I go, there I am. And I might as well have a calm mind for every situation.
Do you schedule block time to meditate, or you do that periodically during the day?
I used to have like this crazy sort of block schedule. I've kind of come to the point where I'm just being now. I'm not super intentional like I used to be with my days.
Yeah.
And so I'll find time for it when I feel like it. I'm sort of experimenting with it. I read this book by Oliver Berkman, 4,000 Weeks. Have you read this?
No.
Oh, you'll love it.
Okay.
So it's the antidote to all these productivity hacks, which I was a huge productivity geek.
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com.
I didn't feel like, if I didn't have every single minute scheduled in my day, I wasn't getting enough done.
Right.
And now I've let all that go and I'm trying it all like a sweater. Some days are better than others, but that's kind of where I'm at now.
You seem to be enjoying it.
There are days I really enjoy it. And there's other days where I'm like, you know, that type A kicks in and I'm like, okay, I don't like the fact that I now have to think at 11 a.m. about the next thing I have to do.
Yeah.
So I think there's a balance. I think what I like to do is usually at night, sort of schedule the biggest things I want to get done sure. that day. There's no more than three. And then the rest of the day can sort of be more thinking time.
Yeah.
Which is really, I feel like my role is now is just to think.
Right. Dream up, come up, what's next, right? So dream up for the things for this team to do, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Let's do this. I'm going to move on to my final segment, what I call 4-4 impact.
4-4 impact.
Your favorite quote, if you'll do for the next 3 to 5 years what other people won't do, you'll be able to do for the rest of your life what others can't do. Zig Ziglar said it. What about that resonates most with you?
What resonates for me is the fact that you've got to have grit, right? So it wasn't if you'll do for the next 6 months what other people won't do.
No, right.
It was the next 3 to 5 years. And so often I see people, whether it's in land investing or multifamily or, you know, the Burr method, they try it for just a short period of time.
Yeah.
They don't embrace the suck. And then they go to the next thing. Like, oh, well, screw it. ATM investing. And they're off.
Right.
And so they're kind of hopping. So I think that's why that resonates with me.
Yeah. What do you think it is that holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I would say that it's being uncomfortable. It's just, you're going to be uncomfortable. And so within that word uncomfortable, you can throw in a whole bouillabaisse of right. different characteristics between fear, exceeding your parents, you know, or whatever it is, like whatever story it is. So, but I think that people just don't like to be that uncomfortable as they grow to that next level.
Yeah. And growth comes on the other side of uncomfortable.
Right. Right. So exactly. What's that chart of success? It's not a straight line.
No.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. 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 Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Outside of real estate? Well, I have my second book coming out. I'm really excited about that. Traveling. I love to travel and see the world. Learning new things.
Yeah.
I'm really passionate about. And just becoming the best version of myself.
Yeah. Tell me about the second book. When's it coming out? And then, you know, elaborate a little. What is it?
So the first book was Dirt Rich, which is an overview of the land investing business. The second book is Dirt Rich 2, The Next Plot. And it's how to scale your land investing business. So we talk all about the software, the automations, the team, building that team, what to pay those people. So it's like a virtual freedom combined with, you know, this land investing niche.
Yeah. When's it due out?
Good question. I mean, have you written a book now?
Soon to become. Yeah, I have written a book. I have it in front of me. Yes. Yes. I know where you're headed with this.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's really tough to lock a manuscript.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, I totally understand that one. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
I think expanding their perspectives and showing them that if you can eliminate that big bucket of stress in our lives we call money, and you have total freedom to work when you want, where you want, and with whom you want, you can move up Maslow's hierarchy of needs into self-actualization and fulfill your greatest life purpose and get that trifecta of having time, money, and energy at the peak of your life.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, what an amazing way to give too. Altering other people's state and their purpose is just, or allowing them to realize their purpose in life. Well, incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. I really appreciate you taking the time to connect on here today, Mark. It's a fun story because land, in my perspective, is, you know, one of those things that kind of out of sight, out of mind. And you've been able to stumble into the industry and take it to incredible heights and build a business, which in my mind would not normally lend itself to passive income and financial freedom. And you've been able to be able to wrap it with an alternative strategy and be able to do so. And now you help folks and teach them how this is right for them, how they can get involved through that free course. That's terrific. If people want to, they want to connect, they want to learn more outside of the free course, which that link's down below, how can they do it? Where can they find you?
I think the best place to start is thelandgeek.com. Thelandgeek.com.
Perfect. Well, you guys can find it there. Mark, I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it.
You bet. For everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.